Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, as such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And what follows, Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 6, the verses 1 through 21. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 6, the first 21 verses. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, in whom we live, we move, and have our being. And then each time when we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, then it is so necessary and indispensable that thou granteth impressions of thy majesty and of thy glory, and that we may be clothed with deep humility and profound reverence, that we may have the right impression of all of our many needs, and with an eye upon thee, where thou art such a great God, and who is a God like unto thee, that is everything in thy hands, and were the storehouses of the greater Joseph, that they are still so full, and thou wert so great, so perfect and infinite, that by giving out thou shalt not become less, and by holding in thou shalt not become more. But, Lord, it pleaseth thee to glorify thy great and worthy name, to grant precious gifts unto the children of men. Thou grantest many temporal blessings above so many people upon the face of the earth, and may it be thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. But, O Lord, above all, we need spiritual blessings that thou granteth this precious time of grace, that we may be prepared to meet our Maker in righteousness and in peace, because we cannot meet thee as we are born. We need to be born again. We need to be looked upon in thy mercy. And Lord, then in this evening hour, then we humbly ask thee that thou may bestow those spiritual gifts upon us and our dear children, that thy presence may be experienced in a special way, and that thou may grant thy special tokens of thy favor. And what greater tokens could thou grant than when it would be heard that boys and girls, young people, and older ones were converted by thee unto thee, that sons and daughters would be born in Zion. Thou worketh by word and by spirit, and by the foolishness of preaching, ah, Lord, thou only needeth one word. Wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Wilt thou spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations? And wilt thou remember thy children? Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they live. Thou knowest their condition. Ah, thou knowest what are riddles and what are perplexities there can be. Wilt thou instruct them in this evening hour and the necessity for the further leadings, where we are called upon to speak about the address of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, only possible through thy dear Son, by the precious work of the Holy Spirit, do bless the manifold means of grace. Do help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children. May their eyes be upon thee. Bless thy word in the church. Bless the labors of the consistory to that end. And bless thy word in our Christian school. Remember and help all those that may labor therewith and labor therein. Then we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, wherever it has gathered in this day. It all awaits for thy blessing. The labors are manifold. The need is great. Servants for thy vineyard. Teachers for our Christian schools. And a church worker for our mission field. Lord, do remember the manifold needs, the young daughter, the young father in a faraway country. Thou hast wrought wonderfully hitherto. Wilt thou continue to remember them? May it all prosper in thy hand, where they both hope to travel in this week. Wilt thou remember the father in the hospital? Then without thy blessing the means cannot and shall not avail. Remember him in his frail condition. We commend him unto thee for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember his dear wife and the whole family circle? Remember the mothers with that dreaded disease. Thou knowest their fears, their concerns. Grant them a special place at thy footstool. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening, and that all the special callings, that they may be sanctified. Remember the handicapped ones, those that struggle with weakness of the mind, those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. Wilt thou bless the family circles, that thy word may have a special place, and that love may abound. Remember the nations of the earth, under wars and rumors of wars. Wilt thou remember that people in different countries, where there is war, so much death, so much mourning, and so much suffering. Remember also our nation that has departed so far from thee. Wilt thou remember our governments federally, provincially? Remember also the council of this town. Lord, may we and our dear children be given to perceive the signs of the times, that thy judgments, that they are hovering so low over the earth, and that we may be given by thy grace to hasten for our life's sake, to find a sheltering place under the wings of Emmanuel, to be included in that people of whom thou wast promised, lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the earth. We now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above, and that with freedom and liberty to be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. Wilt thou go from bench to bench and from heart to heart, those that are lawfully hindered at home when they may listen, wilt thou also grant them a blessing, grant a prayer for one another. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 444, the stanzas 1, 5, and 8. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, with all thy power. Exalt the God who is thy strength and tower. Let all within me bless his holy name. And what follows, Psalter 444, the stanzas 1, 5, and 8. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46, the question and answers 120 and 121. Question 120, why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer, that immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God is become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. A Lord's Day 46 speaks of the address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. With four thoughts, in the first place, it excites to a childlike confidence. Secondly, declares a precious mediator. Thirdly, gives a trusting expectation. And in the fourth place, instills a profound reverence. The address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. A childlike confidence, a precious mediator, a trusting expectation, and a profound reverence. Thus first, it excites to a childlike confidence. Beloved congregation, we find the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. We have read together Matthew 6, a portion thereof. And then the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken of prayer, especially of secret prayer, of course. That does not exclude public prayer. Then he has spoken of the Pharisees and the hypocrites. And then he has given to the disciples and to the multitude the Lord's Prayer. We find the Lord's Prayer also in Luke 11, where the disciples of Christ has asked the Master, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist has also taught his disciples to pray. Of course, when we speak of prayer, then we must make a separation, because there can be the gift of prayer where there is not the grace of prayer. And now concerning the giving of the Lord's Prayer, then it is clearly declared in the scriptures that the Lord's Prayer is not the only prayer that we may use, because Christ has declared after this manner and not after these words. And thus Christ has given this prayer that we may model our prayers after the contents and the order of the Lord's Prayer. And then secondly, and then the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11, they are not exactly the same words. And then thirdly, the Lord has given the scriptures as an example for instruction for our prayers. And then we read in the scriptures many different addresses. In the Old Testament, then God is not called Father so many times, although we have learned from Hellenbrook, from the scriptures, that the Trinity is clearly declared and defined, the three divine persons in one essence, already in Genesis 1. But in the prayers, it was more veiled in the Old Testament concerning the Trinity, that has been broader declared in the New Testament. And then in the Old Testament, then the church has addressed God in many ways. Genesis 32 verse 9, when Jacob was ready to meet his brother Esau, then he has addressed the Lord thus, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. And then further we read, the God of Jacob added to it. Moses in Exodus 32, as an intercessor for his people, and then he has addressed God as Lord. Joshua, after Achan has stolen of the goods of Jericho, and he has come in great need, O Lord God. As Solomon, who has dedicated the temple in 2 Kings 8, then Solomon, then he has addressed the Lord, O Lord God of Israel. Hezekiah, when he has come with that letter of Rabshakeh that has mocked the God of Israel, then he has stated, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. In Nehemiah 1 verse 5, when Nehemiah has heard of the broken walls of Jerusalem, then he has begun his prayer, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him. We read the same address in Daniel 9, when Daniel was given to supplicate to the Lord. Oh, in the Psalms, then how often, Lord God, many times with an O, and declaring the wonderful attributes of the living God. And in the New Testament, also many different addresses. When we think of the Canaanitish woman and the blind man that sat by the wayside by Jericho, O Lord, thou son of David. Then we read of the Pharisee and of the publican that they have begun their prayer with God. In Acts 1 verse 24, with choosing another apostle, and then they have addressed the Lord, "Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men." In chapter 4, when they were persecuted, brought before the council, and where John and Peter received such a liberty to speak of their God, then when they came together, then they have prayed, "Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth." But then in the New Testament, also different places, God and the Father, which we may also understand God, even the Father, then we read in Ephesians 5 verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Thus then, congregation, then we read of many different ways in which the Lord is addressed in prayer. Then the Lord in his mercy, then he has given many wonderful and exalting names by which we may address the Lord, where we may come for our needs, for soul, and for our body. And now in this evening, then we are called upon to consider the address of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And then sometime the question is asked, may an unconverted person pray this prayer? The answer is not so difficult. In the first place, with the Sermon on the Mount, then we read, it is true, we may picture it so, boys and girls, that the disciples were sitting a little at the front, but a great multitude, and that is when the Lord has given the Lord's Prayer. There's also a Judas among the disciples, and there was also a multitude. Then in the second place, then God is our Father in the way of creation. And then in the third place, if we would say that an unconverted person may not pray this prayer, then what about the singing of the Psalters? Thus then it is clear that the unconverted may pray. But now the question is, can an unconverted person pray this prayer and this address in the fullest meaning? And then we have to say no. And congregation, may that now become your need. Christ has even said in John 8 verse 44 to the unconverted that their father was the devil. And then further, then the question could be asked, when may a child of God now pray this prayer? And when it is right and true in the life of a true child of God, then they become exercised with the same. Our boys and girls can understand it. When a family circle receives an addition, a baby brother or baby sister, then that child is just as much part of the family as the other brothers and sisters. But then that little child, that would be very scary and strange if a little baby said Papa or Daddy the first day of his birth. That does not happen. Then those children need to become a little older. And so we read that John has written to the church into John, because in the family of this father, then there are little ones, then there are older ones. Then John has spoken of babes, and they desire the sincere milk of the word. Then there are those children that need to be instructed in the things of the Lord. Then the apostle has written of young men, oh, that are so zealous for the things of the Lord. Psalm 69, verse 9, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. And then there is also spoken of fathers. What a blessing it is when there may be fathers in the midst of the church that may give a little instruction. And now we read, why hath Christ, and concerning that word can pray, that we hope to hear in our second thought, but first, it excites to a childlike confidence. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus? Our Father. That immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, our congregation, how guilty we are concerning our prayers. Or are there people that are quite satisfied? That Pharisee, the front of the temple, he was given to thank God, mentioned sins, kept the blessing, of course, and that he was not as that publican. But how necessary that immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, that we are filled with that profound reverence. That's how our instructors begin. And we hope to hear of that childlike reverence in our forethought, thus to come as a child, but also a profound impression to whom we speak. And what kind of a child? Not with slavish fear, but with that childlike fear, day and night difference. It is true. Those true children, there many times come a trembling, profound impression of their sinnerships. They have much to confess. And those true children of Zion, they need much encouragement. Many times they write bitter things against themselves. Many times they exclude themselves. But now Christ has taught his church to pray, our Father, that they may be given to come with all their needs, all their wants, all their sins, that they may come to the throne of grace as a little child with a childlike faith and a childlike trust. Of course, when we consider this address, then what a great responsibility fathers have, together with mothers, to give the right example that our children and youth may also have a little understanding of this prayer, can be with daughters that are sexually abused, that they also have difficulty with the Lord's Prayer, with the address, Our Father. May the Lord keep our families from that great sin. Oh, what a blessing. When the true child of God may come to the throne of grace as a little child. We read in Matthew 18, verse 3, except ye become as a little child, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus then, concerning the Lord's Prayer, to pray it aright and in the depth, have we now become such a little child congregation? A little child that needs the Lord, dependent upon the Lord. We read that the instructors have stated a childlike confidence in God. What a blessing it is, boys and girls, when you may have a father and mother who love you, care for you, of course also instruct you out of God's word, and that a child has a place to go when they're little. And I hope, young people, also when you become older, then it is so necessary that father and mother, that they form that bond early with their children around God's holy word. And that hopefully, when the children become older, we live not in an easy time, that with their difficulties, that they come to father and mother to unburden themselves. Thus a childlike confidence that father will care, provide, help them in all their difficulties, will instruct them. That childlike confidence, great thoughts of the Lord we have heard last week from Micah 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee? And fathers and mothers, they are much honored when the children do come. Of course, those spiritual children, they know something of that godly sorrow. They know something of that repentance. What a blessed frame can be. Alas, alas. Oh, and that beginning life, so close and so tender, that they need the Lord for everything. And that when the child is longer on the way, sometime the same as with older children, they want to become more dependent. They do not come to their father and mother as much. And then the Lord many times has to use hard ways to each time by renewal to return his child at the throne of grace. Our second thought declares a precious mediator. And then the instructors, they speak of profound things. The childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, must understand it right, does not say that is the foundation for the hearing of prayer. That is only through Christ. But when the instructors speak of a foundation, our children can understand it, to have a house that is firm and sound, then we need a good foundation. Thus the instructors are saying, when we come in prayer, with not that childlike reverence, not that childlike confidence, that trust and faith, then it is not a fitting prayer that is well-pleasing to the Lord. But now further, and that makes a separation, namely, and that speaks of who can pray that prayer, namely, that God is become our Father in Christ. Thus the instructors to give examination. And now concerning that knowledge in the life of the true child of God, then there are steps and degrees. When the Lord begins by His Spirit, when we become a child through that new birth, because we read in John 3 verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then we have much to do with the Lord of Providence. And we read in Lord's Day number 10 that the Father in His providence, that He upholds heaven and earth, that He directs and governs all things, then we read of that Almighty God. Thus when the Lord works, then they have much to do with the Father of Providence. But then there shall be those that say, but we all have much to do with the Father's Providence, and that is true, but do we see it? Do we recognize it? Does it humble us? And does it now bring us closer to God's Word? Thus then we need to make a separation, because for the true child of which our Lord's Day speaks, it is in the part of gratitude. Then the true child, then concerning the Father of Providence, then in the first place, then they love that great God. In the second place, they obey Him. In the third place, they honor Him. In the fourth place, they are given to trust Him and to expect great things from Him. And in the fifth place, then they are so grieved when they sin against the Lord, against the Father whom in His providence grant so many blessings. So there we have the separation, congregation. Be now honest. How is it with that love? It's not something we can make. Not something we can give one another. That is a gift from above. And we read in Galatians 5 verse 6, that faith worketh by love. So that is the examination. Do we love? Do we obey? Is that our desire to walk? Can that be seen? Because when a child is born in that heavenly family, then they begin to resemble their eldest brother. And we say it again, a baby, they knew not so much. They do not know the names of their brother and sister, although they experience much love. I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that they become conformable to the image of Christ. Thus that is the separation. Ah, for those children. It's true. Sins are many, their falls. Think of a Peter. But Peter could say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. But now what is now necessary for those children, and that is stressed in this Lord's Day, because in the true work of the Lord, it does not remain with the God of providence. Because with the Father's providence, their sins are not pardoned. Can experience His goodness, His gifts. But for the true child of God, he needs the pardoning of his sins. A true child of God can find no rest until they may be given to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, it is necessary that they come to the knowledge of the Father through His dear Son, which is declared in the manger of Bethlehem, that the Father has given His Son as a gift, and His name shall be called Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. Then in the third place, then they need, with the burden of their sin, and all for the true child, when it is right, then that burden should become greater and greater, an unbearable burden. And what does the child, our Lord's, they speaks of our Father, then by the Spirit, they need to be led to the cross and there to behold the Son of God and to experience that on the cross, together with the resurrection, that the justice of the Father is satisfied, thus that is a deeper knowledge. And then in the fourth place, think of the disciples, then with the ascension, then the church receives a homecoming, because Christ has opened the doors of heaven, a way back to the Father heart of God. And then in the fifth place, on the day of Pentecost, the testimony of the Spirit, as we read in Romans 8, that the church may receive that full assurance. Namely, that God is become our Father in Christ. Our third thought gives a trusting expectation. Let us first sing. Psalter 55, the three stanzas. The Lord my shepherd holds me within His tender care, and with His flock He folds me. No one shall find me there. And what follows? Psalter 55, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
the address of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, excites to a childlike confidence, declares a precious mediator, and now thirdly, gives a trusting expectation. How is it with our prayers congregation? Do we expect what we ask? Boys and girls, when you have asked in this evening hour, coming up to God's house, Lord, wilt thou give me a new heart? Do you believe that it shall take place? Or is it oftentimes that is not for me? It's not written in the Bible. Lord has exhorted and commanded all of us to seek the Lord, to seek that one thing needful, oftentimes at the throne of grace, that the Lord may remember us and our children in mercy. And then the instructors have spoken of what we ask Him in true faith. And true faith that is wrought by the Holy Spirit. As I read in Hebrews 11 verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith. Ah, when we miss that faith, may you be given to beg for it. And when you may believe you have a little beginning, then the church, the disciples have also asked, Lord, increase our faith, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith, then our parents will refuse us earthly things. A little child has great thoughts of father and mother, and sometimes they ask big things. It's not wrong. But then the parents need to instruct. You were too young, or it's not good. Because we must remember more children have been ruined by receiving too much than by not enough. And now earthly parents, then there are circumstances concerning food and drink more often in former days. But there can also be other needs that earthly parents that they cannot give. But now the Heavenly Father, he is so rich. We read in Psalm 50 verse 10 that every beast of the forest and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are all his. Haggai 2 verse 8, the silver and the gold. Thus everything belongs to the Lord. And when the true child, by the exercise of faith, think of the people in Egypt, they have seen those large storehouses of Joseph, that they were so full. And then if we think of those brothers, then the sacks were filled. And now we read of that expectation and that rest upon, in the first place, upon the promises of the Lord. Think of Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He will sustain thee, and he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Then in the second place, what precious examples we have in the scriptures. Let us mention Elijah by the brook, where the Lord has sent the ravens with flesh and bread, the widow of Zarephath, where there was also a daily supply. Then in the third place, the attributes of the Heavenly Father, and that he is mighty, and that he is able, the instructors in the answer of 121, they have stated, and that we may expect from his almighty power. That was the hope of many a saint. That was the hope for an Abram when he was 99 years and Sarah, his wife, 90 years. I am the Almighty God, be perfect, walk before me. Genesis 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? But then we could mention all the attributes for the welfare of the church that has been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Then in the fourth place, experience. Paul has stated in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, who have delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and trust that he will yet deliver. And then in the fifth place, in his time and his way, Isaiah 55. The verses 8 and 9. And now for the true child concerning answers upon their prayers with their wants and their desires, then how exercised they can be, whether they are now a true child. Oh, especially in the beginning, then they think, if I now had that knowledge and that assurance that I was a true child of that Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, then I would be willing to lack anything, suffer all for His cause. Because the Lord is too good to be unkind and too wise to be make mistakes. They learn further. Much of that proud and rebellious heart. Nevertheless, what a blessed place, that tender life, that close life, that they expect everything from the Lord and given to trust that the Lord knows best, although can be so difficult for the flesh. Think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, taken into the third heaven. And then he received a thorn in the flesh. Messenger of Satan has buffeted him. and he has prayed twice. Three times. And he received an answer. Was different than he desired. But a precious answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. Expect. That means a waiting church. John Bunyan, in a certain place, he has written a list of 7 special sins in his life. Not sins of going to wicked places or those things. But one of those sins he has written, that he was not enough waiting for an answer upon his prayers. Many times we pray, we get up from our knees, and we do not wait for an answer. That has become sin for John Bunyan. Our last thought instills a profound reverence. Then already we have mentioned from the beginning of answer 120, a childlike reverence. And then in question 121, why is it here added, which art in heaven, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty? I read Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Thus the need. We live in a day that there are even many, and maybe they have a nice name for it. They are the Father's child, and they have much freedom and liberty. But then in their prayers, then it seems like they are speaking to man. And that profound reverence is missed. The life of the church, the closer they may be with the Lord, the more they may be given to behold who he is in his majesty and glory, the more humility and reverence there shall be. It is true. I read in Hebrews 4, verse 6, because of that high priest that was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Just because of their childship, but that does not exclude that profound reverence. And then we can understand that reverence not only in our words, but that must be experienced in our hearts. We have many examples in the scriptures. Moses, that burning bush, put thy shoes from off thy feet, for thou standest upon holy ground. Isaiah 6, when he saw those holy cherubims that cried out, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And also the apostle John on the island Patmos, our Father which art in heaven. Then we shall close with a few simple questions, young and old. And concerning love, then we know whether it is in her heart. Oh, it is true for the true child, could they love him more? But a few simple questions. Do you love the Father's word? Do you love the Father's law? The Father's day? the Father's house and the Father's people. That makes the separation. And now concerning the heavenly gifts, not only to expect, but included that humble thanksgiving. A broken and a contrite heart, where the heart becomes soft, Job has said, that God maketh my heart soft. And then Paul has written to the Philippians concerning his great God and concerning the living child, the children of that heavenly Father who have been purchased by the precious blood of his dear Son. Then he has written, but my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day, and that we could go up to God's house. Then in the realm of nature the wind is blown. May the north wind and the south wind of the Spirit also have wrought wonderfully in the hearts of young and old. We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be. And may we be found more a begging and a praying people. O Lord, where that love is missed, wilt thou graciously work it, because thou hast declared, cursed is everyone that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ. And where thou hast begun, wilt thou increase those heavenly graces, more exercised with the work of a triune God. Lord, keep us then under thy kind care and thy protection. Keep us from sin and temptation. And then we commend unto thee the confession of faith class when they hope to meet with the consistory. Our Lord, do remember and do help them. They need to be living members of the living church of the living King, to become children of that heavenly Father prepared for eternity. Bring the congregation together for a weekday service when we hope to hear of the things of the Lord. Lord, bring us now safely to our dwellings. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, also of the imperfect performance of our duties in this day? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 7, the three stanzas. On the good and faithful God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. And what follows, Psalter 7, the three stanzas. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.